T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Come on in, baby. It's Thursday. We got a party weekend ahead. People are already partying across the street last night from where I lived. Cars lined up all down the road. We didn't get an invite, but it was okay. But anyway, people are partying, and John Michaels is back for the midday party. It is so good to see you, brother. So good to have you back. First of all, get us caught up on Christmas. Get us caught up on you. And then we got to get caught up on some sports topics, man.
Yeah, a lot of sports to get to. I have spent the last, 4 days dealing with kids and relatives, and everything's been fun. Christmas was great. I know my wife now listens to the station. You know how I know? The PlayStation 4 magically appeared under the Christmas tree. Yes! So she set it up nicely. You know, instead of just wrapping it in the normal PlayStation box, there was this big giant box under the tree for me. And I'm looking like, what the hell is that? And I'm not a kid. I don't walk over and shake it anymore. And when I picked it up, the box was kind of light. I was like, oh boy, what the hell did she put in here? And it had a bunch of bubble wrap and all kinds of miscellaneous crap in there. And down at the bottom, a nice PlayStation 4, which I've been waiting for a couple of years. And there it is. I actually didn't set it up, though, until yesterday afternoon because, you know, I got to take care of our kids first. You know, building Legos, putting this together, moving this here, doing all that stuff. They're excited to be out of school. I'm excited that come Saturday afternoon, they'll all be gone, and it'll just be the wife and I for the next couple of days. Christmas was awesome, though. Our kids loved it. The reaction, because our gift to them was a trip to Disney World, and we had put little shirts together, and hey, all of you guys opened this together, and they all went, oh, okay. What? They were like, yeah, okay.
Really?
I'm like, we're going to Disney World. We're going to Universal Studios. We're taking a vacation. Okay, I'm going to go play with the stuff that's right here in front of us.
You know why? Instant gratification.
That's what it was.
They want it now. They want to touch it, feel it, you know, whatever.
I want that same instant gratification.
So, John, let me ask you this question, because Legos were a big deal for my boys for many, many years. They've moved beyond it. They're 14 and 12, but they still joke about it. Did you at any point lose that critical, integral piece to that particular thing you're building, and you got to look under the couch, you got to look under the coffee table, you got to look, everywhere?
No,
because you did not lose the important piece.
I can now say that I'm officially a Lego master. Kane and I will build them together. His job is to separate them by color. Like, all right, here's the piece of the, because typically they have the, and you can never figure out, like, which one is that? But you got to figure out what color. So he separates them all. We do it right down there on the floor. We just put the pile of Legos there and then we put them together. I still have two sets to put together. I only put one so far, but one is all he needed right now.
Yeah, man, plenty of time to get that hooked up. So let's get caught up. Who are you mad at about the Falcons and Saints?
Everybody.
Who are you mad at?
First of all,
names. I need names.
Whoever that officiating crew was, pick all of them. Marvin Hall, catch the ball. Everybody on the offensive line, we need to be able to get a yard. The blame goes around. I'm mad that we lost to that group. Matter of fact, I was ticked off that we lost to that group and then had to sit for about an hour. I don't know why we were sitting at the stadium for an extra hour just on the bus, just waiting to leave. And then the idiots down there in that city, because they don't understand when police are coming, you move out of the way. It took us forever going down I-10. And, you know, of course, all the New Orleans Saints fans standing out the windows, other, you know, other rusty beat up pickup trucks or cars that may not have a full set of four tires on them, hanging out the windows, flicking us off. Oh, we get all of that leaving there. But the blame goes around, and it's the playoffs this weekend. But you know who I'm happy with, Rick? The NFL. Thank you, NFL, for the first time, for not completely jobbing all of us that work in the NFL and wanted to go out New Year's Eve. We're flying home from New Orleans, and I'm talking to Bo, and I'm talking to Arch and Wes, and I'm like, this, you know, I love our job. Never will want to leave the job that I do on the sidelines with the Falcons. But I'm going, man, this is completely jobbing me on New Year's Eve. And then about an hour after I got home, I get a text from Arch and Wes and Bo and Chris Capo and Greg Campbell and Miller Pope, our group that works together. They were like, 4:25 kick. I was like, yes, I get to go out. I get to be a child. So we'll do that. So I'll be hungover on Monday. Just letting you know.
And our slice of life is that right there. Do you still feel that primal urge to go out and party your face off on New Year's Eve? I do. John does. Let's check in with MO here, John. And we got to catch you up on the Vision Computer Twitter poll yesterday. It was about the Dogs and what they're concerned about heading into the Oklahoma game.
And this has been back and forth for almost 24 hours now. At Rick and John 929 on Twitter. As a Dog fan, what are you more concerned about regarding the Rose Bowl? So what's your biggest concern going into the game? Is it Baker Mayfield? Is it because Jake Fromm is a freshman quarterback? Is it the Georgia secondary? Or is it that damn state of Georgia sports curse?
Can I ask real quick before you give the results, whose idea was it to put the curse in?
Do I really have to ask? Gangster Tricky Ricky.
Because I was listening yesterday. I was in the car having, I had to go to Publix or something, whatever I had to do, you know, the honey-do list. And I'm driving, and you know, you and Stan are doing a great job. And I heard that, and I said, "Well, I know option four who put that one in." I knew that was a
and that was my choice too. So Stan went with Baker Mayfield. What says you,
Baker Mayfield?
Okay,
you know me. I don't buy into stupid curses, and I know we're different, and we've argued about that before. Uh-huh. Baker Mayfield is a tangible problem. That dude back there is going to have the ball in his hand 75, 80 plays. He's going to be throwing it. He's going to be running around like a crazy person. He's the best quarterback Georgia's played this year, and it's not even close. Jarrett Stidham's good. Baker Mayfield's elite at the college game. That dude scares the hell out of me.
Well, the people agree with you, but not as much as they agree with Tricky Ricky. 41% of the votes coming in saying they're most concerned about this damn Georgia curse.
And then what's second place?
Baker Mayfield.
And what percentage?
39%.
See, 41 to 39. John, this has been literally flip-flopping since we started.
Don't you guys realize the Georgia Swarm eliminated the Georgia sports curse by winning a championship? As a matter of fact, they'll be...
Raising the banner on the 30th.
Yeah, the 30th. And 2 Chainz going to perform right down the street
from
my house.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
2 Chainz is playing at a lacrosse game?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Georgia Swarm's big time.
And I think they're giving away the first handful of fans that come in. Like
they're giving away Mark
banner.
Owens.
They're giving away a replica. Man, take me home with you. 6% were only concerned about Fromm being a freshman quarterback. 14% are concerned about the Georgia secondary.
Brian Gebhardt in for Paul Bible today. Shout out to Jason Marks doing a great job the last 2 days. Shout out to Stan Norfleet doing a great job the last 2 days. BG, what says you about this UGA Vision Computer Twitter poll?
I'm going to go off the board and say my biggest concern is getting to Baker Mayfield with the pass rush without bringing the blitz, getting it with that 4-down lineman. That's my biggest concern heading into the Rose Bowl.
And that's...
What's up?
What the f*** is going on?
The sports world never stops. So if you missed anything, Rick and John are here to tell you what's up.
What's up, Holmes?
Our season, to be real with you. I mean, we win, we in, we lose, you know, we out. But, you know, we like to take things in our own hands and, you know, take care of our own business. So, you know, you just go day by day. You know, Sunday, come take care of business.
You know, I hate the fact that it does come down to this. A year ago, you know what we were doing right now? We were on cruise control. We were in the playoffs. And we were going, all right, win against the Saints on a Sunday afternoon, and we're going to have the number 2 seed. And then we're going to sit at home and wait for the winner of, who was it, Seattle? I don't even remember who Seattle played in the first round. We just waited for Seattle, basically. The playoffs are here. There are no more, there's no more margin for error. There's no more, you know, there's no more time to say, hey, we can throw one in the loss column. You take care of your own business. It doesn't matter what happens when Seattle plays Arizona. Do any of us in this room truly believe the Seattle Seahawks, who just went on the road to beat the Dallas Cowboys, are going to lose to the Arizona Cardinals? I believe that's who they play the last
week. That's correct.
Are they going to lose to the Arizona Cardinals on the last week of the season? I don't, which means 425. Have your rear ends in the stadium, screaming like crazy for the Falcons, then go party afterwards because the Falcons have to get it done.
I think the Cardinals have a puncher's chance of winning that game, but that's it. And if they played it 10 times, I think the Cardinals could win it 2, maybe 3 times. To your point, John, we have to handle our business, man. And if you told me, now coming into the season, you told me week 17 you need to win in your end. I'm like, really?
Right.
That's not what I'm signing up for. However, John, watching 15 games of this Falcons team, I am happy and content that we have a win-and-in scenario at home against Carolina. I'm totally at peace with it because we have played choppy, rotten, inconsistent, mediocre football all year, and we can still make the playoffs.
Here's the thing. You've yet to play your best game, but maybe this is just who the 2017 version of the Atlanta Falcons is. Maybe there is no best game. Maybe the best game was a game against Dallas. How important now is your boy Blair Walsh coming up about a yard short on a field goal kick in a Monday night game about a month ago? He doesn't miss that, and we go to overtime. All of a sudden, the Falcons would have had to have, as a matter of fact, they'd be out already. Had Seattle won that game, the Falcons would have already been eliminated.
Wow.
So think about that. How important is it now that Detroit had a play overturned because Marvin Jones' knee was down? I mean, think about the duration of the season and where you're at. playoffs are here. If you win against Carolina, you're probably going across the country to play the L.A. Rams. And I like my chances going against that group.
If Bellamy doesn't drop a ball in the corner of the end zone, the Bears beat you in week one. Rick and John here, and it's What's Up. And I want to depart from sports for a moment because we have to rekindle a slice of life debate, John, that we really rather enjoyed. Mm-hmm. M.O. saw a tweet of somebody saying, hey, M.O., is it okay for me to take my uncle and my cousins out to the Pink Pony for a good time?
Yep.
M.O. says, no, it's family, it's weird, ew, all that stuff. I say, party on, Wayne, yeah. And let's create some memories. Because, like, the next Christmas when you're standing around the tree sipping on eggnog, you just look over at your cousin or whatever, you go, yo, man, you remember her? You remember the VIP section? Yeah. Remember how rowdy that got? Yeah, dog.
Yeah, I don't know that you can put that on a Christmas card, but I'm with you. Party on. Dude, it's not like you're taking your dad. Actually, your dad's probably fine as well. It's not like you're taking your father-in-law. Like, I wouldn't take, and Urania's father passed away, so may he rest in peace. But, you know, I wouldn't have taken her dad to the Pink Pony. That would be weird. I probably wouldn't take her brothers either to the Pink Pony. That becomes weird. Your uncle? Dude, come on.
Exactly.
Because you always know you have a drunk uncle at home anyway that's probably there anyway.
But it wasn't his uncle. It was my buddy's uncle and his kids.
Yeah, that's fine.
So it was a family get-together
at
the Pony.
How old are his kids?
I mean, they're all drinking age.
Okay,
they're
then
all
it doesn't matter.
20s,
yeah, it's all
30s.
Good.
Couple of them are married. But
they're
it's
not
like,
14.
Hey, Uncle Joe, come on. We're going to the Pony. Bring the family. Hey, bring the photo album, too. Let's go over some baby pictures while we're here.
Dude, I...
It's gross.
Whatever, dude.
BG, where are you at with this, man? Are you with John and me, or are you with Nerdy Dad in there?
Oh,
who are you
no.
with?
Party on, Wayne. Party on, Garth. I'm 100% in on this. Like John said, as long as you're not taking the in-laws and the rest of the family's good with it, have a good time. Go out there.
Yeah, it's not like I want the same dancer to dance for dad and son. Actually, you know what? It teaches all. I don't care. Whatever you guys do, I'm going to be off in my little corner doing my own thing.
BG just got mayor and said, BOGO, and I kind of like the way you're rolling there. I like the way the Hawks are rolling. Okay, but stop it. You have won back-to-back games for the first time this year. Cool. You can just check that box and get back to losing competitively, and that's what they've been doing. John, the Hawks have been playing a very good hand all year. They've been fighting hard. They've been developing players. They've been in games, and they've been losing games for the sake of the ping pong balls. Look at what Chicago is doing. Rolling now that Nico Mirotic is back. Cool. Keep winning, Chicago.
Yeah.
We need to start thinking about ping pong balls again, and we got Coach Bud coming up.
Well, and Coach Bud obviously will not think that way. I don't think that John Collins or Dennis Schroeder or any of those guys are going to think that way. They win last night 113-99 over the Washington Wizards. Can I ask you something, Rick? When are the Wizards ever going to turn that corner? Or are they never going to turn that corner?
They might this year in the playoffs. You know what happened. Don't you, John?
Mm-hmm.
Little Buckhead flu.
Yeah, probably. But they're 19-16. It's not like they're, you know, it's not like they're 22-8. And okay, they had a
right,
bad night.
Right. No, and they did have a bad night. And let's give the Hawks credit. 113-99. A lot of guys played well to get that win. But John Wall has been out. They've had other guys missing some time with injuries. And John, the Washington bench isn't as good as it needs to be.
Yeah, it's a team that I look at. And you have Beal and you have Wall and you have all those guys, and you're just not winning games. Again, that's a them problem. They're paying a lot of money to be bad or to be at least mediocre. But guess who else? You know who lives here? Mia Khalifa. So they're just like the team that she cheers for.
Okay, okay.
Okay. Take a break. We come back. Coach Bud, he's not mediocre. He's a great dude. We talk to him every week at 10:20 on Thursday. It's all brought to you by Delta. We'll talk to him next on Sports Radio 92.9. The Game.
Here's a moment you may have missed from Rick and John in 2017.
We don't normally read text at the start of the Slice of Life. We want your back-to-school stories, what's going on, stuff like that. A guy named Gus texts in and said, in school I got in a fight with a kid named Rick Kambla. Can't believe Gus checked in from Minnesota.
That's amazing. Shout out to Gus for going easy on me. Because as I explained, that was the fight, like fist fight, with Ice Cube and your boy Charlie Day, where you know all day you got to fight
right.
at the end of school. And I had that day. I lived that day. Gus beat me, but he did not totally beat me up.
I think
so,
the
shout
actual
out to Gus.
Phrase that you said was,
Gus could have gotten on top of me and pummeled my ass. I'm telling you right now.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Getting you caught up with all things Hawks as we check in with Coach Bud from Delta, the official airline of your Atlanta Hawks, on Rick and John.
All right, we'll talk about the two-game winning streak with Mike Budenholzer in a sec. But, Coach, I know you are on the line and listening. First of all, Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Have you ever had that day, Coach, that fist fight day back in school, high school, or junior high school, where you knew it was coming, all day it's brewing, and then after school you have a fight with somebody? You ever have that day, Coach?
I was listening to that, and I don't remember the all-day brewing. I will say I had a couple of couple fist fights in my day, but I don't remember it kind of brewing all day. I remember like halftime of a varsity basketball game when I was like a third grader going into the bathroom and, throwing down a little bit. But I don't remember it brewing like the whole game or all day.
That is awesome. On the court with Coach Bud here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Coach, what else is awesome is a two-game winning streak for the first time this year. What did you guys do last night to take care of Washington, a team that obviously you know well from playoff battles gone by?
Yeah, it felt like we just, the second half, our defense, I think, kind of rose up, gotten a little bit better as the game went on. And our offense, we went through a pretty serious dry spell to start the third quarter. But after we kind of, managed, our defense kept us close while we couldn't score for the first 4 or 5 minutes of the third quarter. And then we just got into rhythm offensively and maintained our defense and were able to, pull away and have a good win.
Yeah, it was awesome, man. 113-99. And so, Coach, you're used to winning a lot of games, man. I mean, a 19-game winning streak a couple of years ago in that epic signature season, and now back-to-back wins for the first time this year. And I know that you're just going to keep chopping wood, but are you kind of like, geez, finally?
Well, it's good to win a couple games in a row and just, to put, good outings back-to-back, kind of try and build on, one good night and follow it with another. Especially with a holiday kind of break in between, and sometimes you can come out and be a little sluggish coming off of that. So and it feels like we've been playing better. The Oklahoma City game the night before the Mavs game, I was really pleased with the way the guys played, and I think we've been playing better ball lately. So it's good for the guys to be rewarded for their good play.
Coach Ersan again last night, 20-9. When you guys made the move for him. What was it, about a year ago now, or a little over that? Did you think you were getting the guy that you're getting right now and he could give you this kind of productivity?
It's interesting. I would say no. I think we were very excited about adding him. And the way he was able to integrate himself last year and really help us as we kind of made a push to the playoffs and, had a competitive series against Washington, he was great last year. I thought he was better than expected. And then, now the last 2-3 weeks, I don't remember Ersan ever playing at this level for this long. And, he's making shots and making plays all over. I think his passing is a little bit underrated. And, he's getting a little bit of a rhythm with, he and Miles Plumlee, a little big-to-big action. And, I think Ersan is just, both last year and the way he's playing the last 2-3-4 weeks is, I think exceeding our expectations.
Shout out to the PR group with the Hawks, Garen and Steiny and Roos over there. Love those dudes, man. They do a great job. And I just got an email that Muscala and Bembry are going to be sent down to the G League. Coach, tell us about the thinking involved with that decision.
Yeah, well, first with Mike Muscala, we're just continuing to kind of take, steps to getting him healthy and getting him, back from the ankle injury. And hopefully he can go down there and have a couple outings and, play well and maintain health and keep making progress without incident. And, he's, I think, very close. And this is, hopefully what can be a final step for him to being back on the roster and active. And with DeAndre, I think we've, Malcolm, I think, has been giving us a great boost, playing Malcolm and Marco a little bit at the wings. And, I think we want to see, DeAndre go down and play, a lot of minutes and really push himself, just to be better defensively, to grow offensively, make good decisions, have the ball in his hands, and, pleased with how he's shooting the ball and how he's improved in that area. But I think just, when you're getting, 30-plus minutes a night for a few games or however long it is, it's different. Right now he's just kind of getting the 10, 15, maybe a little bit more with us and maybe nothing, like last night. So I think we're going to give him a chance to go down and really play and really grow. And hopefully it's a great opportunity for him. And, when he's back with us, he'll be a better player.
Muscala was a guy that was thrown into that as well, obviously a guy that's coming back. But Miles Plumlee's been a player here in the last four games, a couple of double-digit nights, getting some glass work as well. He was a guy that was seen, by a lot of us in the media as just a throw-in as part of the Dwight Howard scenario. Is he a guy now that you feel has earned himself regular rotation minutes, even when all your bigs are back healthy?
Yeah, we'll see when everybody's back and healthy, but my answer is most likely a yes. I think his size and you know, physicality and athleticism has just been a nice addition to our group and the way we're playing. I mean, I think the guys are getting a feel for where he is and, you know, how he can help us on both ends of the court. And, you know, I feel like if he keeps playing like he is now, he's earned, you know, a spot in the rotation. And, you know, we'll just have to work all the guys back in and see what's best for the group. But very, very happy with the way Miles is playing and feel like he can continue to do this for us going forward.
Coach, Friday night on the court with Coach Bud here on the Midday Show with Rick and John on the home of the Hawks, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. This is presented by Delta. On Friday night, y'all are going to be up at the Rockin' Air Canada Center in Toronto. The Raptors are rolling, one of the best teams in the NBA. They just keep getting like a notch better each year. Talk about that matchup, Coach.
Yeah, no, it's really impressive what they've, you know, been able to maintain and kind of just, you know, each year maybe try and get a little bit better. And I think the way they're, you know, the thing that stands out a little bit, you know, I haven't dug in a lot is how DeRozan's expanded his game to the three-point line. And, you know, he's just such a killer in the mid-range and a killer getting to the free throw line. And, you know, now if he expands out to the to making, shooting and making threes, just makes him more dynamic. I think their whole team is shooting more threes and just, you know, trying to change the way they play a little bit offensively. But, you know, I think when you have Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan, you know, kind of perennial all-stars, it always starts with them. And you know, they think they got good players around them that fit well. So, and that's a great atmosphere to go up to Toronto. The fans are really great. And, yeah, I think our guys will be excited to play there.
Coach, the NBA historically plays on Christmas Day. But this year, New Year's Day, you are off, which means New Year's Eve, you are also off. Rick and I love to get to know you more than just the basketball side of things. Are you a guy on New Year's Eve that likes to get out, or are you a stay-at-home guy and just kind of enjoy the family on New Year's Eve?
Yeah, New Year's Eve, I'd say more stay-at-home guy, you know, kind of just keep it quiet. And but, you know, I don't know for sure. You know, I guess it's two or three, four nights away. I better figure it out. But my kids are here, and, you know, I'm sure we'll at least get a meal. I'm guessing we'll get a good meal somewhere and probably you know, just hang at the house and ring in the new year. But they may have plans that I don't know about yet.
I love it. Well, good times in store for you, Coach. Again, we're happy. Couple of wins in a row. You know, some good vibes around the team. It's good stuff, man. And, you know, you beat a Dallas team. You beat a very good team in Washington last night. So it's a good look, man. And, Coach, we appreciate the time as always. We wish you a happy new year and go get some more wins, all right?
Appreciate it, guys. Take care.
Thanks a lot. It's On the Court with Coach Bud here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Really good stuff with Coach.
So, John, I was going back and forth as we're interviewing Coach Bud, and I'm like, should I ask him about the two-minute report?
Nah.
Like coaches and GMs, it just puts them in an uncomfortable scenario. They're talking about the league and refs, and it's just so dicey. And so, but I want to talk with you about it.
Okay.
Christmas Day, did you watch the Warriors-Cavaliers game?
Yes.
Okay. Now, were you – you know me with LeBron James. I respect the game. Okay, he's eighth on my all-time list. I give him his due. But I don't like the whining and the complaining, and he gets every call, but he wants more calls, and it's just greedy, okay? You know I have a big problem with LeBron that way. So, let's go to the game. Kevin Durant fouls him, according to the two-minute report, not once, not twice, but three times on two plays with under 2 minutes to go. Now, LeBron also, the league said, committed a foul on Durant that was not called. So the scoreboard reads 3-1. Were you feeling at all sorry for LeBron James not getting calls? Because you know I wasn't.
Carry the two. No, I was not at all. Here's the thing, and I've said this about LeBron. He's a guy that I actually really like. And I know there's a lot of people, oh, he left Miami. I don't care. Won two titles. He's still my dude. LeBron, you could call a foul on him as far as when he's on the offensive side just about every time he touches the ball. Some are more egregious than others. Unfortunately, like Shaquille O'Neal, who dealt with the same thing, it just comes with the territory of being 6'8 and 275 pounds in a moving freight train. They're not going to call everything. This is where I don't like the last two-minute report that they do, and I understand why the league does it. But all it does is kind of lend to everybody that goes, well, see, you should have called the fouls. Well, go back and watch the last 17 minutes. You probably could have added five more fouls. The league doesn't want to have that game be a foul-ridden free throw contest at the end. They want LeBron and KD doing stuff, getting the ball in their hands and going and making plays. I'm fine with the non-calls unless they're completely egregious and over the top.
I mean, so I didn't know which way you were going to be on that because I know you're a LeBron backer, and so I like it.
I like the game being
John's
played.
John's keeping it real with us here.
Here's the thing. I like the game being played. If it's an egregious foul, if it's something that you know you have to call, you call it. If it's a ticky-tack, if it's a touch foul, if it's anything like that, you sort of let it slide.
And it look, just like those two games with the Falcons and Saints, where we got a bunch of calls that aided us in a win, and then they got a bunch of calls that aided them in a win. Last year on Christmas, Richard Jefferson ran Kevin Durant over, no call, game over. This year, you know, Golden State got the benefit of the whistle. It all comes out in the wash.
Hey, you know what, guys? Falcon fans, if you're going to Mercedes-Benz Stadium for the game, and you better be, because I'm going to come hunt you down and look for you. You can join Carl Dukes and Bud Light this Sunday, 2 hours before kickoff for the Bud Light tailgate on the porch. Join us before the game right inside Gate 3 by our good buddy, the Giant Falcon, who's going to be partying like a rock star. Bud Light, famous among friends. What are you guys laughing at?
Oh, just a little side conversation when you were reading the promo about Carl Dukes 2 hours before the game at the Gulch or wherever he's going to be there, Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
No. He's on South Beach right now.
Is he really?
Yeah.
Oh, Carl Dukes, you suck.
Yeah, he's got a picture.
You suck.
By the way, Miami right now, it's 75 degrees there.
While
the rest of the country is freezing our you-know-what's off, 75 degrees down there.
Is Carl Dukes swimming a shirt or swimming no shirt?
I don't know, and I don't want to go down that road. But, John, you know what I can tell you?
I'm going to say in a shirt.
I say no shirt.
I say in a shirt.
You know Carl's a man.
You know what I can tell you? That the Disco Biscuits are not playing in South Beach either Friday or Saturday.
No.
That, John, is why I'm going to New York City on a big old Delta plane tomorrow, and I can't wait.
Would you rather them be playing in South Beach than New York?
Yeah. Can we get their whole trip detoured and redirected down to Miami?
You a shirt-on, shirt-off guy in the pool or the ocean?
I don't wear anything.
Shirt off, pants off.
With that, we'll take a break and we'll go to Slice of Life because on New Year's, there's a good chance I'm not going to be wearing anything. Slice of Life next. We just asked Coach Bud this. We want you guys to chime in at 404-741-0929. Are you pulled to party on New Year's Eve, or are you staying at home like Mark Owens on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game?
Here's a moment you may have missed from Rick and John in 2017.
So what do people outside of Atlanta not understand about our city? Sweet tea is a staple here. Sweet tea in Atlanta is also not, I've made unsweet tea and I hand you a packet of sugar. That's not sweet tea. Here's another good. All sodas are Coke. It is what it is. Yeah, it's pretty much true, although I like Pepsi better. Take a break. We'll come back. Don't you turn my mic
up. Don't you dare ever. Don't you ever put Pepsi over Coke. You're dead to me.
So what's your go-to drink?
Sounds like you guys fancy yourself drinkers, huh?
When was your last fist fight?
I'm going to kick your...
Who really wears the pants in the family?
Nah.
Rick and John prove adulting is tough.
It's worse than we thought.
The Slice of Life on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
All right, y'all. The Slice of Life is brought to you by Shane Company. Blow her mind, not your budget, with an engagement ring from Shane Co., your friend in the jewelry business. All right, Slice of Life. And we do want a phone call or two on this, 404-741-0929. Yeah. We want to talk to the peeps. We don't always make this interactive, but we're doing it this time. Do you feel the primal urge to party your face off on New Year's Eve? We bring this up because I'm 48 years old. And I feel like, John, that the need to party my face off on New Year's Eve should start to dissipate.
So it should now just be a want to party, not a need to party.
However, John, I feel the need to party my face off on New Year's Eve, and I really don't know when that's going to stop. 68, 71, 82, I don't know. I have this feeling, John, that I'm going to want to get it in and kick it until I die.
Yeah, I am right there with you. I'm 43 years old, and I'll be honest, the random Saturday go out, that urge is gone. Like, I'll go out every now and then. The wife and I just need time. Okay, we're going to go out and dance for an hour or two. But after about an hour or two being around a bunch of 20-year-olds, I go, all right, it's time to go home. And I don't want to go to the older people club.
What do you have against Johnny's Hideaway?
A lot. a lot. I have no need to be in there. B. Arthur comes up and taps you on the rear end. No thanks.
Oh, there's MILFs and Cougars up in there.
Oh,
right?
There are. Now, yeah. I've been there once with Oren. Oren is a legend in Johnny's Hideaway.
I believe it.
By the way,
they love afros there.
They call him pink shirt guy or t-shirt guy. He's like one of the only guys that can get in with a t-shirt because he's orange. He's like 6'7", whatever it may be. But the urge to do the random party's not there. The urge to party on New Year's Eve is alive and strong. I've been all over looking online. Where can I go? And I finally found a spot to go to. And, you know, we'll be out there right after the Falcons game. I have to go out New Year's. We did house parties the last 2 years. And it's like, all right, great, it's New Year's. And now it's like, all right, I'm at home. I want to be out. I want to put on a stud shirt. I want to put on a shiny jacket. Go out and have a good time.
I like it. Let's go around the room here. We're going to take calls on this 404-741-0929. Do you still feel the primal urge to party your face off on New Year's Eve?
We mentioned it before. It's my horrible case of FOMO, fear of missing out. That happens on New Year's, too. I want to be there. I want to be part of the party. But then when I find myself lately, I get into the situation, big party, bar, club, and I'm like, I don't want to be here anymore. So it's the feeling of I want to be a part of it. All right, I'm part of it. I don't want to be a part of it anymore. I want to go home. I don't want to do this anymore.
Why are you this walking contradiction of partiness?
I don't know. Dude, a therapist would have a field day with my brain.
And it has nothing to do with the party.
It's like New Year's Eve this year. The Battery's hosting a pretty big New Year's Eve party. Mm-hmm. And they're doing two different segments. A little PSA for you. If you got kids, they're having a kids party from 6 until 8 out of the Battery. It's free to come party with everybody. And then at 8 o'clock, they're going to do a ball drop. So that'll be a lot of fun for the kids. And then at 9 o'clock, they're like, all right, kids, get out. Drinkers, come in. And then it turns into a big mess of a party. Mm-hmm. And they've invited me to stay and hang out, you know, get you some drinks. And I'm debating it. And I'm like, dude, that would be awesome. You know, I spent enough time at the Battery, but I've never really been able to drink at the Battery. You know, bring Gretchen out with me. We'll have a big New Year's.
And just get faced.
But then the allure of being on the couch, watching the ball drop with a beer in my hand in a clean bathroom, knowing...
The clean bathroom's
the
important.
The clean bathroom, that's a big part. As you get older, you'll realize it, kids, one day. That is a big part of it. Knowing that on Monday, it is also going to be a bit of an ish show. Monday is going to be a wild day.
Oh, yeah. There's so much. Monday's show's already written. Like, we literally don't even have to write the show. It happens to be at Arena Tavern in Duluth that day, which is awesome, which is like 8 minutes from my house. So I can sleep in till before 10, just right before 10.
Knowing that my happy butt's going to be probably at a bar for the first half and at the house for the second half again. So knowing that Monday's a lot of nerves. But, you know, I think the days of me trying to squeeze my extra large butt into a size medium pair of jeans and get, you know, because what do we do for the past month? We spent the past, 3 weeks
gorging ourselves.
And then we have 4 days to say, all right, got to get into my 60 New Year's Eve outfit. Why doesn't it fit?
Yeah, here's why. I ate pizza and cake, followed by more pizza and more cake.
You missed it the other day in from the Bible. The average holiday meal, 3,000 calories. When you sit down and have your average holiday meal, 3,000 calories. Mm. How many times did you do that over the last week?
When I walk downstairs, I definitely feel more jiggle and wiggle right now. It's not cool. I definitely have indulged over. Matter of fact, I'm doing 10 before tip on NBA TV at 6:30 today, and it's one of those kind of dress down shows. You don't have to like be totally suited up. So I'm wearing jeans or a jean facsimile today. So I was putting on some of the skinniest jeans that I have. Nope, not even close. Had to put them back in the drawer.
What the
I'm
hell
like 10
a,
pounds away from wearing those.
What the hell is a jean?
I don't know.
Simile.
Let's get BG in here.
I know about pleather,
yeah.
But it's either jean or it's not jean.
I don't know. They're like khaki / jean. I don't know. They're kind of hard to quantify.
They're jackies.
Nice. I like that. I'm wearing jackies on NBA TV tonight. Check me out. BG, do you still feel a primal urge to party your face off on New Year's Eve?
Well, first things first, no skinny jeans over here. I can tell you that much. But
or over
all
here.
Of our jeans are skinny jeans. They're hard to put on. I like to get after it with the best of them. Love day drinking. Love going out and having a good time. Not on New Year's Eve, though. It's just not for me. The crowds, the people, the overpricing of it. I'm out on that. I'm becoming an old curmudgeon in that sense. So I don't feel that urge. I'll probably go out the night before, maybe the night after, but not on New Year's Eve.
I love it.
Take a call or two, 404-741-0929. Joey's incoming. Joey, are you in or out on New Year's Eve parties?
Guys, look, when I'm juggling, you know, the primal urge, need versus want, I'm a guy who's married and has 5 kids, so it's definitely a need. You got to get out. And because of what ML was saying, you know, we were juggling around going to the Battery, too. So we may be taking the kids out early. But when, you know, it gets later on in the night, time for Mama and I to go out, this is a need for me. You got to get out.
Totally understand
so
that.
It's not like Mark Richt where you just wanted to party or wanted to win. It's you know, like Urban Meyer, Rick Hamlin, you need to win. You need to party.
Dude, we're doing so much that we're actually sending our kids away. Like, they're flying on planes to be away for 4 days because we need to get out.
But you don't have to do it on New Year's Eve, though. Like, you can do that.
You don't have to do it on New Year's Eve.
It's just an excuse to do it.
Let's take another call. Let's go to Trey and Marietta. Trey, are you in or out on New Year's Eve partying?
I think I'm out because I'm going to be getting ready for the Georgia game day on Monday.
Man, you're just getting old, Trey. Come on, man. What do you mean you're out?
Yeah, I'm going to go watch the Falcons game, and then I'm going to hang it up and be in and just get my drink on at the house.
Okay. All right.
Okay, I like it, though. He's still getting it in. He's just not going out.
He does have a point where it's you do have to get prepared for the games on New Year's Day.
No, you don't.
You're playing.
No, you don't.
I don't want to be
What, are you wearing a jock strap on New Year's Day?
Yes, I do, because that's my go-to outfit. It's my lucky jock strap. I'm not superstitious, but I got a lucky jock. No, because on New Year's Day, I don't want to be hungover. I don't want to be on the couch.
You'd rather just be drunk.
But I'm going to kick it back in, but I don't want to spend all day New Year's Day on the couch.
What time does Georgia kick again?
5 o'clock.
Okay, John. You'll be fine by then.
I don't know. As I get older, these hangovers last a lot longer.
Well, don't sugar it up the night before,
yeah,
and you'll be fine.
Stop doing Jaeger Bomb.
See, but when I start drinking, I do the, hey, you up to Fireball.
Yeah.
Hey, you up? What are you wearing?
The booty call to Fireball.
Hey, let's take one more here, and then we'll take a break and get the. You guys can keep chiming in on this all day if you want to at 404-741-0929.
Some of us are on short-timer syndrome.
Some of us have been on short-timer syndrome. Let's go to Tom and Cumming on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Tom, are you in or out on New Year's?
I'm in, guys. Once you turn 65, you kind of lose that party mode. But I'm going to spend Christmas or New Year's Day watching the Georgia Bulldogs win on Oklahoma, and cook a big prime rib roast on the Big Egg.
Oh, nice! All right, that you know, I want to come by Tom's house. Actually, we'll be at Arena Tavern, Tom. Maybe afterwards, I'm going to come by and get some of that roast.
I will say this though, steak is not good hangover food for me. Like, I love steak, but like hamburgers, pizza, pasta, Mexican food, that's good hangover food.
What do you mean? I'm great for a hangover. Just ask. Take a break. We'll come back. Let's do some college football talk next. Will the Rose Bowl stage be too big for Fromm? And we'll continue the slice of life conversation. Are you going in? Or are you staying in? Or are you going out? I'm already out on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
But for me, the best part was this.
Here's a moment you may have missed from Rick and John in 2017.
Maybe hey, Randy Mack.
Yeah.
Hot dog days of summer. You're in the middle of camp. You ever yacked on the field?
No, never.
Good question.
I've thrown up once, and that was during a game because I took too many. The Trainer Plus, they're like five-hour energy pills, but I took too many of them, and it was hot. It was so hot in Miami, and I never forget. I just, something's going to go. And I always drink water, but for some reason, I drank some Gatorade. So I'm going in motion. And I throw up on the back of Jay Fiedler.
No way.
Yes, yes.
Projectile?
Yes.
And so I get over to where I'm supposed to be at, and I'm throwing up as the play is going on. And Willie McGinnis is standing right there looking at me like, what the hell is wrong with this kid?
Are you serious?
Yeah. Come back to the huddle. Throw up in the huddle. Catch touchdown next play.
It's 11 a.m. in the ATL, and you're listening to Rick and John on Sports Radio 92.9.
Man, we love us some Randy McMichael. Shout out to Randy Mack. He's our guy. And we are here for you with a dual-pronged phone call situation on the Midday Show with Rick and John. 404-741-0929. We want to talk dogs, and we also want to talk partying your face off. So we'll continue the slice of life. Do you feel this primal urge to get it in on New Year's Eve or not? And also, will the Rose Bowl stage be too big for Jake Fromm? Now, John, you know that I'm a Fromm guy, going back to the G-Day game in terms of trusting him, believing in him, knowing that he has the it factor, all that stuff we've talked about all year. My answer to this is going to be very obvious. I don't think the Rose Bowl stage is going to be too big for Jake Fromm. Going to Notre Dame wasn't too big for Jake Fromm. Going to Auburn and losing 40-17 was not too big for Jake Fromm. That was a total team collapse. Obviously, the SEC championship game was not too big for Jake Fromm. So I don't think this is going to be too big for Jake Fromm. And it goes back to just that poise, that maturity, that it factor. But, John, I want to take calls because I believe that there are going to be some people out there who don't think that Jake Fromm is up to the task on this Rose Bowl stage. So let's get to it.
And we'll also take calls continuing our slice of life. Are you a guy that feels you need to go out on New Year's Eve, or are you a stay-at-home person? We'll talk about those. Pulling up Jake Fromm's game log, what, you know, and it's plain clear how Georgia's handled him all year, and this is why I'll answer no. Georgia is not going to put too much on Jake Fromm's plate. They're going to give him between, 15 and 20 throws. They're going to let him run some read option, and they're going to turn and lean on their defense and their running game and their offensive line. It's what they've done all year. It's not suddenly going to turn into, oh, we're in the college football semifinals. Let's throw it around 50 times. Not who Georgia is. It's not what Kirby Smart brought Jim Chaney in to do. He's modeling his game right now after what Alabama used to do when they had the Greg McElroys of the world. And let me be honest, Jake Fromm is way better than those guys. He's way better than Greg McElroy. I think he's better than A.J. McCarron, although A.J. McCarron.
Really?
Not yet. I think just kind of projecting him out, okay. He will be okay. Better okay. Than A.J. McCarron. McCarron made a lot of throws. And remember, Nick Saban started it with very, very vanilla. And as he got better talent at quarterback, he started ramping up what he was doing. A.J. got there, they started throwing it around a bunch more. You got into the Jalen Hurts, you were going spread, and you're running around and doing everything. Jake Coker, a guy that could throw it and had a big arm, they threw it a ton. That'll happen in time for Jake Fromm. It's not going to happen this week against Oklahoma.
I mean, I think it might. So I'm going to disagree with you on this.
You think they'll throw it 40-plus times this week?
No. Let me explain. What I think, if there is adversity, look, the game plan that you described is what Georgia is going to try to do. However, there is adversity in football games. There is a muff punt that might happen. There is a 75-yard touchdown pass from Mayfield to Marquise Brown that you might not have anticipated. Things change when you get into the game. Bullets mm-hmm. are flying. So, John, there may be a scenario where Jake Fromm is asked to do a little bit more than he's been typically asked to do this year. So, in other words, like I've been saying all week, he, to me, needs to be a game manager plus. You can't just be a game manager and beat Baker Mayfield. He is going to have to make some plays downfield. He is going to have to, John, stick the ball in the gut of Michelle and Chubb, leave it there, and keep it, and go around the right end for 10, 15 yards. That play is going to be there all game. And that's why I think Jake Fromm, look, do you think Georgia is going to beat Oklahoma with Jake Fromm throwing for 150 yards and one touchdown?
I think it can.
Okay, but
they've done it this year.
Right, but this is a different animal, man. This is the most prolific offense they've played all year. To a point, they're going to have to score with this offense. So, so we're going to have to agree to disagree. Now let me put a scenario on you. I want to define you saying that Jake Fromm, that this stage is going to be too big for Jake
Fromm.
No,
I'm not saying it's going to be too
big. Well,
you're not. No, I didn't. I said it's not going to be too big because
They're going to dumb it down for him.
Well, they're not going to dumb it down. They're going to do exactly what they've done
right.
all year.
And they've kind of been dumbing it down for him a little bit. But, John, let me present a scenario, too, that I think Jake Fromm would get the job done in. Down 4, 3 minutes to go, you got to drive to score a touchdown and win the football game. I don't know. I can't guarantee Fromm's going to get that job done. But I like his chances, John, and I'm optimistic, and I'm glass half full on him getting that job done. Are you?
Yeah, I think he can. I absolutely think that this is the type of kid that doesn't fold and doesn't struggle under pressure. I want to go back to the scenario you laid out. You said 150 yards and one touchdown. He's only had three games all year where he's been north of 200 yards. They won the SEC title game with him throwing a buck 83 and two scores, and they won it fairly handily.
But they won it with the game plan that you just described, you know, that typical Georgia blueprint. I don't think that typical Georgia blueprint is going to work against Oklahoma. I just think that it's going to have to be a different game. I think mm-hmm. you're going to have to play a little bit of Big 12 football to win this one.
Yeah, and I don't think that's why I go back to the 30-point argument we had. Georgia doesn't want to play Big 12-style football. You can't get to the dance and go, you know what, I'm going to go over here. You get to the dance and you play the way that you play. Georgia's going to run it with Chubb and Michelle and with Swift. They're going to play great defense with the guys that they have, and they're going to make just enough plays in the passing. Because you know what Oklahoma's going to do? Oklahoma's going to say, all right, remember what Auburn did in the first game that they played? We're going to load the box, and Oklahoma's defense isn't as good as Auburn. We're going to load the box, we're going to stop the run, and we're going to make Jake Fromm beat us. But if Jake hits one or two plays early, Oklahoma suddenly drops a safety back. Maybe you only have seven in the box, and it gets back to ground and pound.
I think on Tuesday after the game, I think we're going to be talking about some adversity that happened in the game that caused more to be required from Jake Fromm. Mm-hmm. That's just my read on this football game, and that it sounds like. And again, we've been talking about it for 2 weeks in terms of what Georgia wants to do relative to what they're going to be able to do. And I don't think that they're going to be able to perfectly execute the game plan that's been working all year. And I think they're going to have to, like I said, play just a little bit of Big 12 football, get into a little bit of a track meet, and get a little out of their comfort zone to win this game.
Yeah, and like I said, I don't believe that that's a game Georgia wants to play or they will win. And again, for the Georgia fans that are riding around, I have picked Georgia to win.
Yeah, they think you're hating on them right now,
John. I think Georgia will be able to execute their game plan and run the football and play defense. They're not going to shut down Baker Mayfield. But you're not also going to go out and give up 40 points to Baker Mayfield. I think they win the game in the 20s. They're going to time a possession the hell out of Oklahoma, and Georgia's going to go to the national championship game.
So, John, let's stoke up some calls here, man. 404-741-0929. Do you think that the stage at the Rose Bowl will be too big for Jake Fromm? I definitely think it won't be. John pretty much thinks it won't be. Let's see what Christopher has to say. And also, Slice Alive carried over. Do you still feel this primal urge to party your face off on New Year's Eve? That's where we're at on the Midday Show with Rick and John. Chris, Happy New Year.
Hey, what's going on? What's going on? Hey, yo, guys, I was just talking about the slice of life question about partying or not. Just real quick, I'm just giving a shout-out to all the Uber and Lyft drivers. I know they're going to be out that night, and I probably might see one or two of you. So yeah, I'm going to keep my eyes open.
Okay.
Love it, Chris. Thanks, man. Right. By the way, I did a little bit of research on New York City because I haven't been up there in a while. And, John, you know, you've got the yellow cabs.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, for years, it's just you hop in a yellow cab, you go where you need to go, and you fly around the back end as your cabbie is, you know, aggressively and violently driving through the streets of Manhattan. Well, now you have Uber and Lyft.
Yeah.
But I read that Uber is now, because especially if you're like in Brooklyn and need to get back to Manhattan, and I think that's what I'm going to rock on Saturday night, a little lettuce at Brooklyn Bowl, then head back to Manhattan for the Disco Biscuits. So I'm like, what's the quickest way? And they said that sometimes getting a yellow cab outside of Manhattan, even in Brooklyn, is dicey. You may be waiting there. So they just said, boop, you just hit that Uber app, even in New York City.
Yeah.
So it's an Atlanta thing. It's a New York City thing. It's all over.
Dude, it's going to save us on New Year's. I'm not driving anywhere. I'm not putting any of my friends in harm's way to
drive.
It's
called DUI insurance.
Dude, they are everywhere. As a matter of fact, I got pulled over today, and it had nothing to do with DUI. I didn't realize that, like, I guess the state troopers can track your Peach Pass. You know, the little electronic
thing? Yeah,
yeah. Mm-hmm. I have Peach Pass on all the time. Well, apparently I had switched mine to non-toll mode because I had people in the car, and I never switched it back. And it had been off since, like, Tuesday. And I'm just cruising down, you know, cruising down 85, and I'm like, I'm not speeding. And my first thought is, oh, boy, he's going to check the tints on my car, and I know where this is going to go.
No, you were thinking, oh, my God, I'm like Nate Newton. I got 270 pounds of weed in the trunk. He's going to find it.
No, see,
just kidding.
The smart thing is I know not to carry 270 pounds of weed in the car. But he comes up and he goes, your Peach Pass is in non-toll mode. I'm like, huh? I didn't know that. So I got a $25 toll lane violation today.
Give me all of the brakes.
There's like 30.
Are you kidding me? He didn't have anything better to do.
Nope.
Than to pull you over for $25.
And it's not even points on your license. It's just here's some cash to hand to the
give
state.
Give me. The fine should be $75 to at least. I'm sorry, John. I'm not trying to take money out of your pocket. I'm just saying $25 you're going to take time out of your busy cop day to stop John Michaels?
Say, as if the Peach Pass lane doesn't make enough on every day when I pay $11.80 to try to get here by 9 o'clock so I don't get yelled at by the guy in the corner office.
What's even worse is you picked a day to get a ticket where there's no traffic
anyway.
There
was none.
So you're in the Peach Pass or in the HOV lane. With a bad Peach Pass,
right. No, I have a
good
Peach
Pass.
You could
have been one lane over and saved all of that with no
traffic.
Here's
the thing, and I was telling Brian this. It's just such habit when you come down 316, straight to the left is Peach Pass, and you got to kind of go to the right and around. I'm just so used to getting on in the left lane. I'll be honest, I didn't even know the Peach Pass was off. Whatever. For $25, it is what it is. But I was thinking the same thing with you, Rick. Like,
all right, dude, there's enough going on around here where you don't have to pull me over for these $25.
I'm just saying. So let me also kind of double down on the PSA here, the Midday Show with Rick and John. We're going to take your calls here in a second. So I'm driving to work this morning, John,
mm-hmm.
and I live out in Snellville, John's former hood, right there by 124 Package in Stoney's. And I'm driving down Scenic Highway to 20, cop. 2 miles later, another cop.
Mm-hmm.
2 miles later, another cop. And there's never cops on Scenic Highway. Okay, never. I drive that road every single day, and I'm a pay attention guy because I don't want to get pulled over. All right, then I get on 20. Cop.
Oh, yeah.
5 miles later. Cop. 5 miles later.
You know what
cop.
It's called?
I'm just letting you all know, every cop is working right now, and they're going to work through mm-hmm. New Year's Eve and probably New Year's Day.
Yeah.
Do not drink and drive. No. It'll ruin your life. Hit that little bloop, the Uber icon.
Yeah, you know what it's called? It's called quota. It's the end of the year, and it's the end of the month. So they are going to make
I'm telling you, man. And they're out there, like, standing outside their cop car with the gun on you. You know, not the actual gun, but the speed gun on you. I mean, they are going for your cash right now. So just don't speed, y'all.
I'll be honest. I always wanted to do that once. Just be the guy with the speed gun, seeing how fast people are actually going. Because you'll see a car, you'll be doing like 75 in a lane, and a guy will drive by you like you're going in reverse, and you go, how the hell fast is he actually going? Or some of these crazy people on motorcycle, hey, wee, 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 and they're just whipping in and out of traffic. Mark will probably have that for tomorrow.
You know who annoys the heck out of me? Is these incredibly loud motorcycles and cars where they set up the exhaust so that it makes it...
Oh, you mean the Fast and Furious cars?
I don't know. Just like it makes it sound like your head is in the middle of a jet engine, mm-hmm. and you can't talk to anybody, and it throws the whole thing off. It's like louder than a cop siren. It is louder than a fire engine siren. I don't know why these dudes are doing that. Are they gearheads? Is it a gearhead thing that I can't relate to?
I have no idea. You mean you've got like a 95 Honda Civic and it's got an exhaust about
yes.
this big? just coming down I-85.
You just caused Mark Owens to rip his headphones off his head. I think his ears are bleeding right now. I see a little stream of blood coming out the ear hole of Mark Owens. It's as if a spider crawled in there and...
So much like the opener of our show, in one segment we've now broken down Jake Fromm partying and the sounds that a 95 Honda Civic and a motorcycle make in and out of traffic. Where else do you get that but right here?
Only on the Midday Show with Rick and John. We give people PSAs too, give them DUI insurance. It's called Uber. And let's go to Chris in Ackworth. Chris, you're on the Midday Show with Rick and John. You're in the party zone right now, dude. Two things. Will the Rose Bowl stage be too big for Jake Fromm? And do you still feel the urge to party your face off on New Year's?
I don't think the Rose Bowl stage will be too big for him. And to your earlier point about possibly the run game getting shut down, we've had SEC teams been stacking 8-9 guys in the box, and the only one that's been able to actually make a difference is Auburn. What makes you think that Oklahoma would be able to do that to this Georgia run game? So, no, I don't think Fromm has any trouble. I don't think he'll be asked
Chris,
to do too much.
Chris, hold on a second. I never said that Georgia was not going to be able to run and do what they want against the Oklahoma defense. I never said that. What I'm saying is that Georgia is going to get punched in the mouth a couple of times that they did not anticipate. And it might be a fumble, a mistake. It may be that Baker Mayfield goes, doot, hits you for a 50, hits you for a 75, and now where are you at? Now you need to adjust your game plan just a little bit. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying this Oklahoma defense is going to shut down Georgia. Please.
And I think you're right. I think there could be a situation where Fromm is called upon to make a deep pass, and he's done that this year. So I think that secondary for Oklahoma is nothing that should be feared by Jake Fromm, and I don't think it is based on the way he's played this year.
Chris, appreciate the call, and I'm right there with you. I don't think Oklahoma will slow the run game down enough to make it where Jake has to throw it for 275 yards. Now, if he goes 275 off some play action early in the game, you're able to bomb one down the field at Oklahoma again. It's got the box loaded, and, you know, Godwin or somebody makes a play on the outside. I'm cool with that. I don't want to get into Jake dropping back 35, 40 times. Oh. Matter of fact, the most passes he's thrown in a game this year, if you had a number, what would you feel the most he threw in a game, most attempts?
27.
26 against Missouri. You know how many, or I'm sorry, 28 against Auburn in the game that they were behind.
Mm-hmm.
He's only had, oh, actually, I'm wrong, 29 against Notre Dame early on. He's had 29, 28, 26, two 22s, and then everything else was in the teens or single digits.
He will throw in the 20s against Oklahoma. There's no doubt in my mind. George is not beating Baker Mayfield with Jake Fromm throwing 17 balls. I just think that more is going to be required from Fromm in this game.
North of 25, I think it's a recipe for disaster for Georgia.
I don't agree.
Okay. We've got two numbers, 30 and 25.
Yeah, so, and again, John, is that the way Georgia wants to play? The answer is no. They're playing Baker Mayfield in one of the best offenses ever in college football. So I just think more is going to be required from Fromm.
Let's go to Al in Alpharetta on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Al, what do you think about Jake Fromm? Is the stage going to be too big?
No. I think this kid has shown time and time again this year that he's capable of handling anything that they ask him to do. And the main reason I think that be the case is I think you guys are giving way too much credit to Oklahoma's defensive line. Auburn has a better defensive line, maybe the best defensive line in college football. You know, and we were able to handle them the second time. And when we did, Fromm played great. You know, Oklahoma's defensive line is the key to the game. I don't think they're as good as what everybody thinks they are. They played against Big 12 competition.
Al, I got to come in here. I got to ask you a question. You have never heard me one time, not even when I'm in the shower or having a moment by myself, talk about the Oklahoma defensive line. I have never said it. I've never said it to Charity. I've never said it to John. So I'm not getting mad at you. I just, who is lauding the Oklahoma defensive line?
It's not necessarily you, but that's what has to happen, you know, for in order for them to. I think Georgia wins the game by 2 touchdowns because I don't think they can stop the running game. It's too good, too many. And so I think Mayfield can go out and throw 35 times and throw 3 touchdown passes. It's not enough to win the game.
Wow. So you're giving Oklahoma at minimum 21 and winning by 35-21. That's a lot. I think Georgia wins 28-24. I've been saying that number for a while. They're going to keep it low scoring. Relatively speaking, 28-24 in college football is like 10-7 in
the NFL.
That's
a low-scoring game.
Absolutely.
Especially in a big ball game like this. I would say that's not a low-scoring game, but a medium-scoring game.
You know, something that's interesting we haven't talked about, we talk about Jake Fromm. How does Lincoln Riley handle this? As a head coach at, what, 36 years old, coaching in a game to go to the national championship?
I'll tell you what he's going to do. He's going to go for it on fourth down.
He's going to
– So Georgia, they, and hopefully they know that. Do not send the punting unit out. And John, when Oklahoma crosses their own 40, they're going for it, okay? And so don't think, oh, we stopped him, and it's 4th and 2, and we can run our defense off the field. I'm telling you right now, he's going to go for it in those scenarios.
We'll take some more calls on this in just a moment at 404-741-0929. But a good friend of the program, a good friend of the station in general, Gary Stokin. He's the CEO for the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl. He'll be joining us next. We'll talk to him about that game and other events coming down at Mercedes-Benz Stadium on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Hey, wee, wee, wee.
And they're just whipping in and out of traffic.
But for me, the best part was this.
Here's a moment you may have missed from Rick and John in 2017.
We have some very special guests here in the house. They want a charity auction. Cooper's going into 8th grade. He's our boy. And our girl is Terry, his mom. Deshaun Watson, continuing to get slept upon. The navy blue number 4 should be flying off shelves.
I don't like Deshaun Watson.
You're dead to me for just a minute for saying that.
He beat Ohio State 30-0.
Because y'all were fraudulent, shouldn't have been in the damn college football playoff. Penn State should have been in that game.
Only Rick will yell at an 8th grader. Only Rick.
Get out of my studio. You ain't gangster. You ain't dope.
Thanks for listening to Rick and John. And if you missed anything, go subscribe on iTunes. Search 92.9 The Game.
Hit and sacked. And that time, Conyers America rings the bell.
This is Grady Jarrett.
Grady Jarrett hammers Tom Brady at midfield.
This is where the Falcons play. 92.9 The Game.
All right, we are back on the Midday Show with Rick and John on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Koopaloop, you're our boy, man. God bless you and your family. Such a cool little kid and such a great mom. And just we loved hanging out with those people. So hopefully they're listening, and we're sending love out to you. Now, we welcome in on the WadeFord.com hotline Gary Stokin. He's the president and CEO of the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl, and he's on with Rick and John here in Atlanta. Happy New Year, Gary. How you doing this morning?
Hey, happy New Year, Rick and John. How you guys doing?
We're doing great.
Yeah, we're doing great, Gary. I got to ask you first thing, and I was concerned about the Falcons game for a couple of different reasons. New Year's Eve plans with the wife, and then the logistics for you guys potentially to turn it around from 8:30, an 8:30 kick, until now a 12:30 kick with the Peach Bowl. Were you relieved to see the NFL helped your guys out and it's a 4:25 kick instead of a Sunday night kick?
Yeah, it's a great question, John. We had 3 contingency plans with project management of a 1 o'clock kick, a 4:25 kick, and an 8:25 kick. And certainly the 8:25 kick was going to keep us up all night getting ready for a 12:30 kick with trying to power wash the whole stadium and then get signage up. And then we Chick-fil-A stuffs each of the cup holders with a free Chick-fil-A offer. So that takes about 4 hours. So it was going to be interesting if there was an 8:25 kick.
Well, thankfully it is not, and there won't be any unfair advantages in the NFL with teams playing late, deep into the night on Sunday. And that's a big reason why they're doing this, obviously. Gary Stokin joining us here, the president and CEO of the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl. I am, Gary, totally fascinated by Scott Frost's decision to continue coaching UCF through their bowl game while recruiting is going on with Nebraska. And then obviously he will take that. I'm fascinated by it. To me, I don't know if it's unprecedented. I know it's not the norm. Just your thoughts on that and what a classy move it is by Coach Frost.
Yeah, it was interesting. When we talked to Danny White, the AD, when it was announced by the selection committee that UCF was going to be playing Auburn in our 50th anniversary game, I talked to him about what's the perspective of the players. And he said unanimously that the players wanted Scott and his staff to coach them in their final game. So I think that went a long way to helping UCF make that decision. And certainly Scott, I know when I talked to him personally, he definitely wanted to coach. So he's juggling two jobs right now. And in between all that, Josh Heupel, who's the new coach at UCF, is in the head coach's office, just finished early signing recruiting as well. So it's been an interesting situation at UCF, but having them here the last couple of days, the players and the coaches are really locked in, they're dialed in, and, you know, they want to do something special. Finish as the only undefeated team this year in college football and probably a top 10 rating if they can beat number 7 Auburn.
Gary, I'm always fascinated with these matchups. Traditional power in Auburn from the SEC, non-Power 5 school in UCF. How excited were you to get UCF to come to town, a team that doesn't typically get to play in games like this?
Yeah, you know, this is Cinderella's chance to dance. I mean, in more ways than one, with these guys being 12-0, they're the highest-ranked group of five team that's ever been in the CFP so far. And, we get the CFP team, Power 5 team, I'm sorry, Group of 5 team once every 3 years, as does the Fiesta and the Cotton Bowl. And, we had Houston a couple years ago against Florida State, and, you know, people thought, well, Florida State wasn't ready to play. That wasn't true at all. It's just Houston outplayed them, had a great scheme to stop Cook and make their quarterback beat him, and then the quarterback got hurt. So, you know, that's why you play the games, and Central Florida is certainly coming in here with the number one scoring offense in the country. And, they want to finish 13-0 and finish in the top 10. And on the opposite side, Auburn has a lot to play for, to be only the seventh team in Auburn's long storied history, tradition of college football, to finish with 11 wins. And I think finish in the top 5 if they win. And then, you know, you move forward to next year. We'll host them again in our Chick-fil-A kickoff game against Washington, who's another New Year's Six game bowl tomorrow, I think. And if they win, they'll finish, you know, probably top 10. So we could have, like we had this year with Alabama, Florida State, we could have two top 5 teams with Alabama or Auburn and Washington.
I love
next year in the Chick-fil-A kickoff game.
I love it, man. Gary Stokin joining us here, president and CEO of the Peach Bowl. Gary, great stats right there on what is at stake for both teams. And I just wonder if those notable statistics are going to be enough to power Auburn through. And, Gary, one of my pet peeves with the SEC mentality is that if Auburn goes and beats UCF, yeah, we rock, we're Auburn, we're awesome. And if Auburn loses to UCF, it's, we didn't care. We didn't have anything riding on the game. Our guys weren't even really fully involved. Do you hear that chatter from fans, and does it rankle you like it does me?
Well, you hear a lot of things from fans, obviously, but when you're in the inside, and I go to every practice, and I went to Auburn's in Central Florida yesterday, was their first practices, and both teams are excited to be here. You can tell the way they practice. So both teams are going to be ready to play, and so I don't think either one will throw an excuse up. It's two good teams out there, a top 10 scoring defense and a top scoring offense in the country, and we'll see what happens.
Gary, you also have something big. You got the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl, as you just talked about, 50th anniversary. But right after that, a week from next Monday, is the national championship game right here at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. How do you plan both events?
Well, certainly the college football playoff has their own staff, and they've done a tremendous amount of work. As a host committee, between us, the Falcons, the Sports Council, the ECVB, and the Congress Center, we have all formed a team. And so we have a staff that's working on that as well. But that's the CFP's game to run. We're supporting with our volunteers and our knowledge of the city and our staff that has put together a great organization that will, I think, put on the best college football playoff national championship that we've had so far.
Gary Stokin, president and CEO of the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl, our guest on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. All right, being it's the 50th anniversary of the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl, my two favorite memories are Miami beating Virginia Tech way back in 1980 and Miami beating Florida at the Georgia Dome in 2004. Worst memory, obviously, would be the Canes getting blown out by LSU a year later. What's your favorite memory of the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl, or best game maybe that you were a part of, Gary?
Wow, that's a tough one. This is my 20th game as CEO and president, and my 35th, I believe, including the years I volunteered. I would say there's something special about everyone, but I tell you what's really special to me, to see the people that have put in so much work. We have some volunteers that have been 48 years of volunteering on the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl and the old Peach Bowl, and to see them light up, you know, when we joined the CFP, to see them light up when we were able to host a semifinal game, and now to have our 50th anniversary, which a lot of them back then, they didn't think they'd make it past 1985. So to me, it's the people. That's what's special to me. And, you know, we have a theme we use, live, laugh, and learn. And one of the things that I think is beyond the game to me is most special will happen today. We'll have both teams, which you typically don't want to do. We'll have both teams sitting together in Ebenezer Baptist Church, and they will get a history lesson from Congressman John Lewis, Ambassador Andy Young, and C.T. Vivian about what it was like during the Civil Rights Movement. And for John Lewis, who at 19 was in charge of the student movement in the Civil Rights Movement at that time, to lead that march across the Selma Bridge, you know, I get chills just thinking about it. I think it's the most special thing that we do outside of the bowl game, and that will take place today right where Dr. King actually spoke at the pulpit at Ebenezer Baptist Church today. So those are some of the memories that I have that stay with me.
Gary, that's amazing. Well said. Happy New Year. We thank you so much for joining us here. We hope everything goes smooth and full of prosperity and success for you here with the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl. President and CEO Gary Stokin, we appreciate your time.
Thank you, Rick and John. Appreciate what you guys in the station do for college sports and college football in particular.
Gary, good stuff. I'm sure we'll catch up with you right down the line. That's Gary Stokin, president and CEO of the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl. Always good stuff. That is really cool. I didn't know that Central Florida and Auburn would be doing that, what he just talked about, sitting down at Ebenezer Baptist Church. That's where the bowl experience comes in. That's where the bowl experience, like, we kind of joke and laugh about the swag bags and all this. The life experiences for some of these kids, and I'm not saying that other bowls are the same way as what we have right here in Atlanta, but that's something that these kids will take with them forever.
Why isn't there any other conference in college football that has that mentality of, like, if Auburn loses, their fans will automatically have the cop out of, well, we didn't have anything to play for, and our guys just kind of showed up and went through the motions. That wasn't the real Auburn team. Mm-hmm. We didn't actually get beat.
Right.
We beat ourselves. Like, why is that only the SEC? And does it bother you as much as it bothers me?
Yeah, because it's the same conference that Auburn fans will now openly cheer for Alabama to win the national. Okay, maybe not Auburn fans. Everybody that doesn't, outside of Auburn, is cheering for Alabama or Georgia to win the national title so they can go SEC, as if their team actually won.
M.O., if, I don't even want to say it, but if, earmuffs, if Georgia loses to Oklahoma and if Alabama beats Clemson and it's Bama Okie for the title, are you cheering for Alabama because they're an SEC team?
No, not at all. Because
thank God.
Yeah, because if Georgia wins a national title, Alabama doesn't fly our flag in their stadium.
No.
Or cheer for you on your way to doing it.
No. I mean, good for them representing the SEC, but I'm not cheering for Alabama just because they are SEC.
Brian, same question to you.
Zero chance. Once Florida won their second one, I was out on that whole SEC thing.
So it took Florida. So you originally were on the SEC. Hey, yeah.
I was. And after about two or three years, you're like, well, it would be fun if Georgia got to one of these. But I can't keep rooting for the other guys to do it. So definitely not.
I picked Clemson to win the whole thing. I'm damn sure not cheering for them.
I love it. I love it.
Dude, I can't. How can you cheer for somebody that you play every year or two times a year or whatever? No.
I am really excited to, John, I'm going to be going to Brooklyn on Saturday night about 7:45.
Uh-huh.
Getting a nice Brooklyn bar at about 8 o'clock. Settle in for your Canes.
Yeah.
and their Badgers.
And your Badgers.
And to watch Alex Hornibrook get turned into a pretzel by the great front seven that you have. I can't wait for that football game, man. How do you guys get away with getting a home game in one of the biggest bowls of the year?
It's just how it works.
Give me a break.
We've won like three national titles at all. Yeah, we won three of our five national titles in the Orange Bowl.
Something kind of reeks of shady and good fishy. And
don't blame us. Blame the way that they set this thing up. That's all I'm going to tell
you. But if that game doesn't sell out, or if it's not a monster crowd, be prepared for an onslaught of, you made it to a bowl game in your home stadium and you can't even sell it out.
Well, it's because they gave 20,000 tickets to Wisconsin fans and they're too busy, you know, crying about Aaron Rodgers.
John, they're eating cheese
They're doing that. And they'll go down to Florida and go, oh, my God, it's hot. Take a break. We'll come back. Let's get back to your phone calls, 404-741-0929. Also, our question today in the college football cheat sheet, what were you the most right and the most wrong about in the college football season on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game?
But for me, the best part was this.
Here's a moment you may have missed from Rick and John in 2017.
Who came up with this crazy idea to describe ourselves in one or two sentences? What could possibly go wrong with us turning the guns, euphemistically speaking, on each other?
I guess you put me on spotlight.
John is a white guy that's proud to be a black guy. John is also obsessed with his figure, Tito's, bronzer, and shoes. So actually, John Michaels is the coolest black girl I know.
Wow!
Rick and John have the latest news from college football and want to hear from you. 404-741-0929. This is the College Football Cheat Sheet on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Yes, it is, and it's going to be interactive. Reed, Sam, Blake, Blaine, Tom, we see you. We're going to get to you. I want to just run through this real quick, John, so we can take some calls. It's our College Football Cheat Sheet, and we're going to tell you what we were right about and what we were wrong about this year in college football. What I was right about, Oklahoma State being a choky bunch of chokers that are never going to win anything big. I was right about UGA winning the SEC East. I did not think they would win the SEC championship, but I was right about them winning the East. I was right about Washington State being a bunch of choky chokers who choke in big games and choke all the time with their choky quarterback, Luke Falk. I was right about Kenny Hill being choky in big games. That's been his career at TCU, and I think once again it's going to rear its ugly head when they play Stanford in their bowl game. I was right about Arden Key. John and I had a juice box bet about it. I told you before the year Arden Key would have a ghost year, mail it in, go to the NFL draft. That's exactly what happened. I was right about Jonathan Taylor, John. He had that early 200-yard game, snatched him up in our fantasy league, and he had like the third most yards ever for a true freshman running back. I was right about Kiki QT of Texas Tech, second most receiving yards in college football. John, what I was wrong about, Penn State beating Ohio State. I was wrong. I was right until I was wrong. Until JT Barrett went 16 of 16 in the fourth quarter in a friggin' act of God and all the stupid play calling Penn State did. I was wrong about Oklahoma and USC. John, I had USC in the college football playoff. I had Oklahoma out. So I was wrong about that. And I was obviously really wrong about Florida State, as many of us were.
All right, some of the things I was right about. I picked Georgia preseason to go 11-1. They went 11-1. I did not have them winning the SEC title. I had them losing to Alabama, so I was wrong about that. I was right about my Canes. Maybe it was a hard overhead. I picked Miami to go 11-1 in the regular season, make the ACC title game. They would have been 11-1 in the regular season, except a hurricane wrecked one of the games, so they were 10-1 in the regular season. I was right about Texas. A lot of people, Tom Herman. John Fricke picked them to go to the playoffs. I said Texas will be pretty mediocre in year number one, and they were exactly that. I was right about Jim McElwain getting fired this year. I remember you and I having the conversation, and you going, you're nuts. I go, Jim McElwain is so fired, it's not funny, and he was. And I was right about my picks because I beat the heck out of everybody on this show with my picks this year. I was fantastic against the spread. I can't even reach my back anymore because I'm too fat, but I would have pat myself on the back with that. I was wrong about some things as well, Rick Campbell. I was wrong about Southern Cal. I thought Southern Cal would be worse than they were. Now, I was right that they wouldn't win a national title, but I was wrong that they were going to just completely faceplant and be an 8-4 type team. They finished 11-2. I was wrong about JT Barrett. Picked him to win the Heisman Trophy. He had one little stretch, and that was all against Penn State in the fourth quarter where he had elevated himself back up there, and it didn't quite work out. And I was also wrong about Ohio State. I picked them to win a national title, and they didn't make it. And that's my fault for believing in that bunch right there.
So I see on our call screen right here, mm-hmm. question for Mark Owens. So obviously we got to start there.
Yeah.
Here from Sam in Kennesaw on the Midday Show with Rick and John. By the way, y'all, tomorrow John and Stan Norfleet are going to be at Twin Peaks in Buckhead. So let's bring in Sam here. What's your question for Mark Owens, Sam?
Hey, let me just first off throw out a big old go Dawgs. And this question has nothing to do with college football at all, but – Mark, are you going to be the MC kind of pump-up guy this season at the Braves game?
2018, Atlanta Braves, I'll be back.
I got
the call last week.
Yes, let's go.
Year number 12, going back for year number 12 at SunTrust Park. Yep. Every year it's at the end of it, I'm like, that's enough. I've done 10 years, I'm good. I've done 11 years, I'm good. Get home, spend some time with the family, have the nights off again. Then right after Christmas, my bride will start saying, so when are the Braves back? When do you start being gone again at nights? I'm tired of being around you.
When do we start making that extra money,
When does that second paycheck start coming in? But now looking forward to it. Got the call last week, and I'm excited about going back.
Way to go, Mo.
You make the games, man.
Thank you, buddy. I appreciate that. Looking forward to be a good time.
Let's run through some calls. 404-741-0929. We got a bunch of stuff on the table. What were you right and wrong about? Are slice of life still out there? We were talking about Jake Fromm. Let's go to Tom in Cumming. He's been hanging on. Tom, what do you have to say about Jake Fromm?
Hey, John, I called early and I forgot to wish you and Rick a happy new year to you and
happy
all your
new year,
ones.
Bro.
Appreciate that. Rick, I have to agree with John. I don't think stage is too big for Jake, and he showed that from his first appearance at Notre Dame, and he, you know, he's never been too high, too low. He's just, you know, he's a level-headed guy, and I think he's going to play great come New Year's Day, and I gave some thought to some of what you were talking about, us playing a Big 12 type of game. What if they try to play our game? What if we intercept what's his name and they start to go to the run game? That could turn things around.
It can.
No question. And all I said, John, was I think Georgia might have to play a little bit of Big 12 football.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to play 57-52. That's not what I'm saying. I am saying that Georgia's going to have to get out of the SEC box a little bit against this prolific offense. That's all I'm saying.
Here's what's crazy. You look at the run game and you go, Georgia's way better. And they are, because they like to do certain things. They like to run it. Nick Chubb, 1175. Rodney Anderson, their leader, 960 yards. Sony Michel, 948. Trey Sermon, their number two, 710. DeAndre Swift, 597. Adams for Oklahoma, 542. So there's a couple hundred yard difference, mm-hmm. but it's not like Oklahoma's only run it for 700 yards. They can run the football as well, which is what sets up the pass. Well, actually, the pass sets up the run for them.
However, you're right, John, but that's not against SEC competition. And so that makes it that much more impressive for the Georgia Bulldogs to me. And again, what does Oklahoma rack up? 600 yards a game?
Or
something crazy like that? What? It's mind-blowing, man. So, but they didn't do that, John, against SEC defenses.
No, they didn't.
Even the Kentuckys and the Vandys and defenses like that would have been done a better job than the Baylors and the Kansases and the Texas Techs.
My point being, Oklahoma has a huge edge throwing the football. It's not as huge of an, and I agree with everything you say, it's not as huge of an edge as everybody would think. Because Oklahoma can run it.
Yeah, all I'm saying, their backs are talented, no doubt, not throwing any shade. All three of those guys can go. I'm just saying, they haven't done it against SEC defense.
Let's go to Reed and McDonough. He wants to sound off on Jake Fromm. Reed, how you doing?
Hey, good. Happy New Year, guys. Love the show. Thanks for taking my call.
No problem. Happy New Year to you as well.
But I think y'all are hitting the nail on the head right there with the SEC defense. This game's going to be more, I think, about Roquan and that defense and Nick Chubb and Sonny Michel on the offense. And, you know, I think right now Fromm is in a place that he'll never be in again in his life. And that is, no one's told him. He didn't get the memo that he's supposed to be worried about this big stage. He's playing loose. He's playing free. And his talent is keeping him from being careless. But on the other hand, you look at Mayfield, you know, we know the history of Heisman Trophy winners in bowl games hasn't always been good, because when he gets knocked off his mark by that defense, he's going to get frustrated and aggravated, and I think he's going to start making mistakes. But you look at Fromm, like in that first game where he came in, first game of the season with the Bulldogs play, when he came in for Eason, you know, he threw a couple of passes that everybody gave him credit for. Long passes, one I think was completed inside the 5-yard line that most coaches would have said, you know, they didn't want him to throw it, but he threw it and they came down with it because he trusts his guys. I just don't think that right now he's gotten the memo that he's supposed to be worried. He's going to go out there. He's living the dream. He's playing free. He's got a ton of talent. But he's got a lot of talented people around him that's going to take the pressure off of him of having to do everything. So I think it's going to be 31-28 Bulldogs, and it's a great time to be a Bulldog fan.
Appreciate it, Reed. Really good breakdown there. This is going to be a fun football game. I cannot wait until Monday. You get two back-to-back games to get you to a championship game. What are we going to? I mean, honestly, what are we going to talk about Monday?
I'm excited about Auburn and Central Florida. I thought Auburn was going to run through them, but with Scott Frost still being there, because coaching changes have really impacted these bowl games so far in a negative and a positive way.
Hey, don't forget you could join 92.9 The Game this Saturday for college football game time presented by Bud Light. It goes down at McCray's Tavern in Smyrna. It'll be Randy McMichael, Chris Goforth, and Brian McFadden broadcasting live from 11 to 3 to talk all things college football. Enjoy $3 Bud Light draft specials and delicious food, including mouthwatering burgers, wings, and sandwiches while watching your favorite teams on multiple TVs. We take a break. We come back. We'll turn our attention back to the NFL. Are you resigned to the fact that Matt Ryan is having a down year? Do you think he can return to MVP form? Because we need it. Coming up next on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Weekday mornings on The
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.